It's talking about how the world will be utterly consumed and utterly destroyed because of their sin. And you come to this spot and you read this verse, and this is the purpose behind it, is because the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now, what's to get to the spot where we're going to be able to rejoice, and for all things, these things to happen, the world is going to have to be cleansed from sin. And it's sort of like, one person called it, it's the dark side of love. One of the preachers that I was reading in the commentary says it was a dark side of love. And it's the idea that if you have a child that's sick, you take him to the doctor. And when that doctor sometimes has to do things that are painful, sometimes has to do things that are going to hurt. If you have cancer, what do you have to do? You have to get rid of the cancer. The chemotherapy or the radiation treatments, they are not easy. They are not simple. They hurt at times, but it's for a purpose. And the same thing, if you have a child that's really hurting, that's really aching, maybe they have appendicitis, what do? You take them to the doctor. When they go to the doctor cuts them. But I tell you that when you give that child over to that doctor to have the appendicitis removed, you love them just as much as you love them the following week when you bring them candy, you bring them flowers. Love is not just all roses and all pretty. It's always doing what's best for the other person. And this is what God is referring to in this book, Zephaniah. He is coming to this spot, and he is referring to the day of the Lord. He is talking about what's going on. Let's look here a little bit about the book here. First, let's look at the author. The author. And you see this in chapter 1, verse number 1. You got some of those names there that are hard to pronounce. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah. Zephaniah identifies himself better than any of the other minor prophets. What we've learned about the minor prophets, some of them have been kept very secretive about their past and what their lineage are. And here, Habakkuk concealed himself in silence, but Zephaniah was the opposite. He went to the extreme. He traced his lineage back to his great-grandfather, which is Hezekiah, whom we also know to be Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Zephaniah was actually part of the royal line here. So when you understand a little bit about the author, not only about the author, you also see the timing of the book. The timing of the book is during Josiah. He located the time of his writing just as clearly as he did his identification and the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, the king of Judah. So what we have here, if you go and you look back and you put all these books of the Bible together, the arrangement, according to the Hebrew scriptures, he was the last of the prophets. He was the last of the prophets before the captivity. He was a contemporary with Jeremiah and probably with Micah. And what he is a swan song of the Davidic kingdom. He's preaching and he's telling the people before Babylon comes down and swipes down and destroys them, he is telling them the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And he's referring to the day that Jesus was going to set up the millennial kingdom. Remember, the prophets did not see the church age. The prophets, that was the mystery. The prophets are all looking for this. And he is telling the people because of their sin, they're going to be destroyed. But this is just going to be for a little while. That someday God is going to get rid of the sin off the earth. And during the millennial kingdom, you'll see how he reigns in a whole different way. Now, one interesting spot that before, as we've been going through this survey, I want to mention to you, you've heard me talk about Josiah before. And now under Josiah, there was a great revival back to the things of God. But you see here that was pretty much did not change the hearts of the people. Maybe for a little while, but you see that just as soon as Josiah was off the scene, there was no more good kings. That was done. That was over. Many people believe that the revival was because they enjoyed Josiah. They liked Josiah. Josiah brought them to the spot where they could have gotten right with God if they chose to, but you know what? They chose to stay in their sinning ways. The revival was short-lived. It was most likely because they liked the king. They began listening to the word and they began doing other things. But you see that it was just a very short-lived revival. After him, there is no more good kings. There is nothing but, for the most part, the nation of Judah turning to wickedness. Now, when you consider this, what is the eternal permanent value of the book? It's the unveiling of the day of the Lord. the unveiling of the day of the Lord. Now, Joel uses this phrase more than any other prophet did. Remember in the, Zephaniah uses the phrase more than any other prophet did, but we learned about Joel. Joel used this phrase as he described the perpetual method in the activity of God in the affairs of men. Remember, we looked about this last month, and we looked, the locust plague was the day of the Lord, the threatened invasion would have been the day of the Lord, the ultimate procedure whereby God will establish his rule. All these things were the day of the Lord. And what they were referring to there is how God interacts in the affairs of men. And there is a day and time coming that when God will interact in the affairs of men once again. And here we're talking about the day of the Lord versus the day of man. As you're reading this book of Zephaniah, you got to remember this. There's a contrast here. The day and the time period that we live in is the day of man. You see that there's wickedness all around us. There are things that are going on that we just do not understand. And during this day of man, you see the Lord's patience. You see that the day of man is the day of the Lord's patience. But the day of the Lord is the day of man's judgment. So when the day comes, and the day of the Lord comes, and Jesus Christ returns on his horse, what's going to happen? He's going to judge the world. The day of the Lord begins with that first 7 years of great tribulation. And this is a contrast between the day of men and the day of the Lord. You sit around and you say, I don't understand why God is allowing all these things to happen. I don't understand why all the evilness and wickedness, it seems like they are advancing, that things are going wrong. You know what? This is the day of man. God is just being patient. God is just being kind at this moment in time. God is being long-suffering. But we see the day coming that the day of the Lord, he will remove his patience and he will judge man. Now, here's three things we're going to look at this morning. This is the text of the message. We're going to look at the content of the day of the Lord, the extent of the day of the Lord, and the intent of the day of the Lord. The content, the extent, and the intent. First thing I want you to see here is in Zephaniah 1:12. Zephaniah 1:12, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that they and that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Now, this is the judgment that is coming. The day of the Lord is a day where we see that the extent that's going on. It will be supernatural. You look at what it says in verse number 2 in chapter number 1. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Look what it says in verses 14 through 18. It says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as the dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now, there is a day of the Lord that's coming that is going to judge the people. You see, in verse number 2, these are not very attractive verses to read, but this is the description of what the great tribulation is going to be like. This is something we must learn how to warn men, and that's what Zephaniah is saying. There is a day of the Lord that's coming, and this great tribulation that is coming, that it's going to utterly consume and utterly destroy. It's going to be supernatural. Now, you say, why are they going to be judged? Well, you think about it. It says he's going to come, and he's going to search Jerusalem with candles. You know, God is fair and just in everything he does. God is fair and just in everything he does. And here he says, and punish the men that are settled on their lees. Now, what does lees mean? It means that they're settled in their luxury. They're sitting in their luxury. And what they are saying here, and they say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. What man is saying here is that these people were sitting there, and they're saying, God's not going to do anything. He's not going to do good. He's not going to do evil. And what mankind was saying in that day is the same thing that it says many times today, is that it does not matter what we do. God could care less what we do and what we say. God's not going to do good. God's not going to do evil. And we got to get to this point where we understand that we live by the grace of God. that the day of God, the day of man, is God being patient with man. And someday he will visit with judgment. Someday he will visit with suddenly, swiftly, irrevocably in judgment. Now, why will he do that? It's because man doesn't think God will do anything. But there is a day coming that man will be judged. There is a day coming, like we hear described in the book of Zephaniah. Once again, this is maybe one of the more difficult books to read, like Nahum was, and the idea that describes judgment, describes fierceness, it describes wrath. You know, it talks about how it's going to destroy everything with fire. But we got to learn that this is a picture of the day of the Lord. This is what's going to happen someday in this world. We're not going to be here. I believe the Bible speaks of a rapture of the church before the tribulation begins. But this is what the world's headed for. This is what your families are headed for that are unsaved. This is what the lost are headed towards, is this day of wrath. And we need to understand the content of it. There is a day when God will judge the earth. He will interfere in human history and end it. A day in which God will come himself directly, supernaturally, immediately into the presence and into the affairs of man. And why is he going to be here? He's coming to judge. He already came once for salvation. He already came once to give that way. He came once for mankind to try to give them a way of salvation. Zephaniah is referring to the dreadful day of the Lord. And we don't like talking about these things. But this is truth. This is found in the Bible. I know you don't hear lots of messages out of the book of Zephaniah. If I ask you if you ever heard a message out of the book of Zephaniah, probably many of you may say no. They never heard it because people don't like talking about this. But if we understand the whole context of the Bible, and we want to get all the Bible and understand why all this is written here, this is a warning. This is a warning, but it also is a message of love to the nation of Israel. That someday that God will bring them back into a right fellowship and a right relationship. Not only the content of the day of the Lord, I want you to see the extent. We'll get to the extent in a second. I want you to understand how that this applies to today too. You know, men have not changed. Back in Bible times, they used to say, God's not going to do anything. God's not punishing. God's not judging. I don't know about you, but you see all the natural disasters that are going around in the world. They even here in America, you go back 20 years ago, that stuff was not happening. That stuff was not happening as much as is happening today. And you know what? The economy falling apart, and you see the movements of liberalism and things like that. Those are forms of judgment that we're just falling upon as a nation, and our world is being judged. But you know what men say? Men are saying the exact same thing that they used to say back then. Knowing this first, that there shall be come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What they're saying is, okay, this day of the Lord's coming, why doesn't it happen? He says, we've been hearing about this day of the Lord for so long and so long. We don't think God's going to do anything good, but we don't think God's going to do anything bad. It's the same thing that was happening in the book of Zephaniah. It's the same that today. Men do not want to believe that God. They have to be accountable to God. That's why they came up with this whole idea of evolution. If they said they were created by a God, they realized they had to answer to a God. So they made up this horrible story. The men of our day are saying exactly the same thing, that God will never interfere in judgment in this way. And this is why the book is here. The men were saying, God's never going to do anything. God doesn't really care. But they're just moments, days, and months away from being utterly consumed and destroyed by the Babylonians to be carried away. Yes, sir. Yeah, he destroyed the world with Noah. That's right. He did with the day of Noah. And he's coming back someday. But this time, there will not be the eight people that are saved from it, that the great tribulation time period will cause it. And people still, you know, even though we had the examples of the day of Noah, even though we had the examples of the Babylonian, there's people still walking around today saying, God's not going to do anything. You have scoffers that stand and say, you know, where is the promise of his coming? You know, he said he's coming. Well, once again, this is the day of man. Now remember, we talked about how one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. But he is the day of man, God is showing his patience. And that's what we need to understand and remember. The extent of the day of the Lord. The extent of it. Now you see, it's judgment upon sin. This is the last stages of our luxury and of indifference. men are settled in their lees is referring to their luxury in verse number 12. The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil, is talking about their indifference. Go ahead and take your Bibles and look in chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, it talks about the state that the people are in. It says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." Now, what this is referring to is commentators differ. Some people think this is referring to Jerusalem and an idea of prophecy that someday it was coming. Some people think it was Nineveh because Nineveh had just been destroyed. But to be honest with you, it does not matter if it talks about Nineveh. It does not matter if it talks about Jerusalem. It's the truth for any city. Any city that does not obey God, any city that does not trust in the Lord, any city that is filthy and that is polluted and that oppresses a city or any government that does draw nigh to God, it will be punished. Now, the last stages of sin are luxury and indifference. You go down and look at human history. Look at the Roman Empire. They were, at some point in time, the leaders were luxurious and they were indifferent towards God, and then they were destroyed. You go back to the Babylonian Empire. We just read and we studied the book of Daniel. You know, Belteshazzar had everything that he could ever ask for. He became indifferent. He began to question God, and thinking he even had that great party that was throwing in the face of God by using the Lord's vessels. Luxurious and indifference are the things that God will judge. And it doesn't matter what city it is, whether it's Babylon, whether it's the Roman Empire, whether it's America, or whether it's Elizabeth City, or New York City, or London, or wherever it is, God is going to judge those that do not obey his voice. And then when we come to this idea of Zephaniah, we need to see that the last stages of sin is that of luxury and indifference, and the spirit which issues a condition that is a disobedience from God's voice. Now, verse number 3 says, this is the results of it. This is what happens when people do not listen to God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. See, what is happening is that this is the description of a city that goes away from God. And this is what happens to a nation that goes away from God. And this is a description of us here today when we see that America has gone away and its leaders, its elected leaders, they're looking for different, they're oppressing the people today. And the judges, they're just feeding off of things that are just contrary to what the Constitution even says. And the prophets, talking about the spiritual leaders of today and many churches today, they're apostates and they don't preach the gospel. They polluted the sanctuary. They're bringing the world into the church. That's just a description. And this is what it's talking about. That is what God is going to judge. And we see where our nation is headed right towards that. And this is what was happening back then. This is the exact same thing that was happening in Jerusalem before they were punished by the Babylonians. The extent of the judgment is that man and all his polluted will be swept away. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, it's a pretty gloomy picture. It is. It is what God's plan, because of the sin of man, is going to happen. But what's the intent here? What is the intent? You know, what is the day of the Lord all about? We'll go back to verse number 14. Look at chapter 3, verse number 14. It says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. And that day shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Now, the intent of the judgment is God's immediate supernatural visitation of the earth is to destroy its extent of sin and its last issues of pollution of man. Everything's been spoiled. What he is coming to do is clear the earth. And that's what you see at the end of verse number 15. It says, "Thou shalt not see evil anymore." Now, some might say that the prophecy of Zephaniah is desert, it's barren, it has no life, has no flower, no fruit in it. But look at why it's happening, the reasons for it. Men are sitting on their luxury. Men are being indifferent to God. They're denying the interference of God. The city does not obey God. They do not receive instruction. They do not trust in God. They do not draw near God. God cannot come and set his kingdom up in a spot like that. And what Zephaniah is telling us is this dreadful day of the Lord is headed, and this intent of his judgment is to bring his kingdom to pass. The new order, the vindication of trusting, it turns our songs into sorrow, it turns our service into selfishness, you know, things like that. We need to understand that this is the intent. God is allowing this day of the Lord come, this rapture to come, this great tribulation. Some people will say, well, I don't understand that. I don't know why God would allow these things to happen to mankind. He is cleansing this nation. He is punishing people for their sin. And you say, well, how in the world do we take this message today? Well, first of all, I think it helps us to understand that the day of the Lord should change the way we live today. The day of the Lord should change the way we live today. Go ahead and take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, you say, Pastor, it's supposed to be about Zephaniah. Well, the 2 Peter chapter number 3 talks about the same thing, the day of the Lord, and gives you commentary to help you understand how you can apply this to today. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, chapter number 10, we have the same phrase. Same phrase you saw in Joel. Same phrase that you saw in some of the other minor prophets. It's in reference to the great tribulation and the day that Jesus Christ returns in the second coming and starts his millennial kingdom. But in 2 Peter chapter number 3, it gives this idea that how a Christian is supposed to live with this knowledge about the day of the Lord. Let's look here in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now, what this passage of Scripture is referring to is the day of the Lord. The day that the Lord's going to come back, and also is talking about the day when the earth will be melted and the earth will be passed away and everything will be burned up. And now, how does that apply to us today? What are we supposed to do with the things that we heard? You go back to Zephaniah and you see all those things. Say, okay, Pastor, the world's going to be destroyed. Okay, Pastor, the Lord's going to judge sin. Okay, Pastor, we see all the things that are going to happen. What does that mean for me today? I think that means that we should change the way we live today. And that's what it says here. Look what it says in verse number 11. It tells us, because we know these things, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. He's saying, since all these things in this world are going to be dissolved someday, what are we supposed to do? What manner of persons ought ye to be? You know, since you know the end times, since you know Jesus is coming back, someday you will be held accountable before God. What type of person ought you to be? Now, if God wasn't coming back, and if you weren't going to be held accountable, if you weren't going to be judged, you know, maybe we'll live a different way. Maybe we'd act a different way. Maybe we would not care about what other people would think or say. We would live contrary to the Bible. We would care less because we don't think God is going to do anything good and we don't think God's going to do anything bad. But that's not what God's put it. He's saying, because you know about the day of the Lord, what type of person ought you be? And here it is. And it says, holy living and godliness. Look at what it says at the end of verse number 11. You ought to be in all holy conversation. Now, conversation is talking about the way you live your life. It's not talking about somebody communicating back and forth. It's talking about how you live your life. It should be holy. And is that next phrase? And godliness. This is how you're supposed to be living. And if you know this knowledge, you have the knowledge Zephaniah gave you that the day of the Lord's coming. He mentions it seven different times. He tells you to be ready. He speaks of it. He tells the nation of Israel of it. And he's saying there's an intent that someday God's going to clean up this whole world so that way he can come and live peacefully with his people. And how are we supposed to take that? We're supposed to live godly. We're supposed to live holy. Look at what it says in verse number 12. Not only that, we're supposed to be looking for and hastening unto the coming day of the God. Looking for and hastening. You know, we're looking for this day to come. We're not supposed to live our lives like it's never going to come. And so often, that's what people do. They rest on their leaves or the luxury. They sit in their houses. They stand around and they could care less that the day of God is coming because they think, oh, God's not going to do anything good. God's not going to do anything bad. At the beginning of this chapter, we learned that there is going to be scoffers that are going to come saying, oh, yeah, you say God's coming someday. Where is he? We've been waiting for him for so long. And they live whatever way they want. But the Bible's saying that we should be looking for it. We should be hastening towards it. What does that mean? We should be acting like it's going to happen tomorrow. If you knew that Jesus Christ was going to come back tomorrow, what would you do today? Who would you talk to? Who would you call? I mean, what accounts would you get settled? Who would you go ask forgiveness from? Who would you go and forgive? And that's what he's talking about. It's hastening. It's hastening because we have this information, because we know these things, we hasten to it. Now, let's look at verse number 14. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. It goes back to that holy life again. That you're diligent, since you're looking for what things? You're looking for the day of the Lord. You're looking for the haste in the day of the Lord to come. And since you're looking for these things, we must be diligent. We must give diligence to our own lives that we may be found in him in peace. That means that we are right with God. We must make sure we have short accounts with God, that we don't have sin in our heart, without spot and blameless. That means that we want to be people that are free from sin, living for God, blameless to those that are around us. And I think about this, if we're talking about being blameless, one of those things would be telling people about Jesus Christ. If you knew the day the Lord was coming and we didn't tell anybody, and then someone would turn around and say, why didn't you tell me? We would be blamed. We could be deservedly blamed. And look what it says in verse number 17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know that these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now we need to beware also. Beware of what? Beware that we stay close to the scriptures. And these are things that, since you know that the day of the Lord's coming, you must make sure that you're living a holy life. You need to be looking and acting as if he was coming tomorrow. Give diligence to your personal walk with God. But beware, that's what the Bible says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Now you say, ye also. What does that mean? That means that there were those in that early church that were saved, on their way to heaven, listening to the apostles' doctrine, that were led away. Did that mean they lost their salvation? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that they were not serving God to their full capacity. They were not learning the truth of the scriptures. They were being led away. And they fell from their own steadfastness. They no longer were standing strong with the word of God. Instead, they become weak. I don't know about you, but do you know Christians like that? I do. People who used to stand strong and was steadfast in their service, and they believed the Bible to be God's word, wouldn't miss church, wouldn't miss an opportunity to serve, and they've been led away with someone else's false doctrine, and this idea that, oh, God's not going to do anything good or bad, and they believe they shouldn't need to serve anymore. Some of us are sitting here today and not doing what we could or should be doing because of the fact that we're not being aware of this idea and giving diligence to ourselves. God is coming someday. And that's what Zephaniah, the book, was all about, is the day of the Lord is coming. And then we do rejoice in the thought that someday we will reign with him and we will be excited that we can rejoice and we will not see evil anymore. And we get excited about that. And that's Zephaniah's song of praise in Zephaniah chapter 3 is exciting. But how does it apply to us today? Do we rest on our luxuries to the thinking that someday we're going to be with God and don't do anything? And 2 Peter chapter 3 says something completely different. Because you know these things, you should do this, this, and this. Last but not least, you see that we should be growing. It says in verse number 18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You know what? God wants us to grow in our Christian walks. I mean, praise the Lord for that. He doesn't want us to stay stagnant. He says, well, pastor, that's your job. You're supposed to teach me and you're supposed to grow me. That's not my job. If the only time you ever get fed in the Word of God, you come here and hear the preaching of the Word of God, God, the Holy Spirit's going to have to convict you about your lack of a desire to learn about him and to read his Bible and to pray. Yes, preaching is a part of your growth and it's important. But it's just not all your growth. You can blame everything you want on the preacher. And, you know, deservedly so. You know, I'm not perfect. But your personal walk with God, and the Bible's saying, because you know that the second coming is coming, because you know the day of the Lord is coming, we should be growing in grace, and we should be growing in the knowledge of God. We should be learning God. We should be understanding God. We should be hearing from God. And, you know, so what do we take this message to Zephaniah from? Verse number 2 says everything is going to be consumed. Verse number 12 tells us that the reason why God is going to judge is because people are indifferent and people are resting on their luxuries. But I wonder, how often do Christians rest on the luxury of the knowledge that they had that someday they're going to heaven? I mean, they rest on that fact, that they rest on their assurance of their salvation, and they don't serve. In 2 Peter chapter 3 here, it tells us that there are going to be people that scoff. There are going to be people who are just not even understanding about the second coming. But if we live a godly life, if we act like he could come tomorrow, if we give diligence to our personal walk with him, we beware of false prophets, and we grow in the Lord, we're going to be wanting to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're going to be wanting to tell people about that second coming. You know, how often have we really told somebody, you know what, Jesus Christ is coming back someday. We love to hear the preaching about it, but Jesus Christ is coming back someday. If you die without Christ, or if you're here when he comes back, it's going to be a horrible time, horrible days, the judgments you're going to face, and that is just the beginning of an eternal separation from God. If we know about the day of the Lord, since we know these things, it says in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things, and in verse number 10, it talks about how we can know these things, and we need to understand the day of the Lord is coming, and this should change the way we live our lives. Now, remember Zephaniah. He's sitting there, his nation's getting ready to be destroyed, his nation's getting ready to come into captivity. But he is giving the swan song to Judah. He's saying to Judah, someday you are going to be able to be with God and have a wonderful time. There's going to be a wonderful kingdom there. But you're getting ready to be punished. You're getting ready to be taken into captivity. You're getting ready to face a horrible ordeal because of your sin, because you did not draw in the eye, because you did not do these things. And that's the message that we need to deliver to others too, is that, you know, because we do not do what we're supposed to do, and because of sin, God will judge the world. And someday God is going to judge this earth. And that's why I love when it says in 2 Peter 3, all this is going to be dissolved. All this is going to be gone. All this is going to be away. Because we know that, why do we put so much emphasis on the things that we have here? I enjoy having nice things just as well as anybody else does. But that can't be our goal. Our goal needs to be the focus of Jesus Christ. And if he's coming back someday to cleanse the world of sin and cleanse the world of evil, we need to tell the world about it. And that's why he's given us the message of Zephaniah. It's the unveiling of the day of the Lord. And we could have spent a lot of time looking at Zephaniah about how everything was destroyed, how everything was utterly consumed, how everything was gone. You know, that's an easy, pretty easy understanding. The world is going to be destroyed. We need to tell the world. And it should change the way we live our lives too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, I know the book of Zephaniah might be a little bit difficult to read or a little bit difficult to understand. But Lord, what you're doing is unveiling your future plan. Lord, your plan and your goal is someday that you're going to reign in eternity, that there will be no sin, there will be no wickedness, no evil. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, we know the day of the Lord is coming and is at hand. And Lord, because of this knowledge we have, Lord, you're asking us to live a holy life. You're asking us to separate ourselves and give diligence to our personal walk. And Lord, that we hasten the day coming, that we look for and expect it to come. And Lord, that we ourselves grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Help them to see that day that is ahead. Help them to let that change their lives and how they should tell others and how they should live themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.